Thanks everybody for coming. My name is Dan Raskin. I'm a graduate student at the University of Minnesota. And this talk is a little more straightforward agronomy centered, but I'll be discussing double cropping as a low nitrogen input alternative to full season corn production in Minnesota. If you're not familiar, double cropping is a system where two crops are harvested from the same growing season, or from the same field in the same growing season, in contrast to a sole crop system where a summer cash crop follows a spring fallow. In the double crop system, the fallow is replaced with a spring or fall planted forage crop, which is then harvested prior to summer cash crop planting. And the extension of the growing season into the early spring can result in agronomic and ecological benefits, but it can also decrease yield of this summer cash crop. And this dynamic can be well illustrated using growing degree units. So this figure shows growing degree units accumulated by both double crop, both the double crop and sole crop system, and the key is a little bit incorrect, but what we're looking at here is that double crop forage in the solid green line and double crop cash crop in the solid yellow line each accumulate fewer GDUs than the sole crop cash crop. And this can translate into lower biomass production in each of the yield components of the double crop system. But the sum of GDUs accumulated by the double crop system can be greater than the sole crop system, and this can translate into overall greater biomass production in double cropping. But this biomass yield advantage doesn't guarantee greater profits, as there are costs associated with managing two crops instead of one. And this limits the appeal of double cropping, especially in northern latitudes where growing degree units are a limiting factor. But I think there are some interesting opportunities for double cropping in Minnesota and other regions of the upper Corn Belt, or northern Corn Belt. Double cropping using cereal legume bicultures as the spring forage may bring in higher returns through a quality premium. I think there's also a possibility to incorporate grain corn production into double crop systems, which typically utilize summer forage grasses, by selecting early maturing short season varieties. And lastly, I think the inclusion of legumes in the rotation can or may be able to reduce our need for nitrogen, external nitrogen inputs, further reducing costs. And my research explores whether the combination of these three benefits can result in a viable double crop system. My objectives were to compare biomass production, yield, and economic returns between three crop systems and to assess nitrogen dynamics in our double crop systems, but today I'll be focusing primarily on biomass and the nitrogen dynamics of these systems. Our studies were conducted at three sites in Minnesota over 2 years, from 2014 to 2016, and the sites were selected to represent regions of corn and major regions of corn and forage production in the state. The experimental design was a split plot design, which had three crop systems, one sole crop and two double crop systems for the main plots, and six nitrogen rates ranging from 0 to 224 kilograms per hectare were applied prior to corn planting as the split. Our first double crop system, we used a 102-day full season hybrid variety, and I've abbreviated it as SCHC for sole crop hybrid corn. Our first double crop system, we used an 89-day dual-purpose hybrid that could be harvested either as silage or grain, and I've abbreviated it as DCHC for double crop hybrid corn. In our last system, we used a 62-day semi-dwarf corn variety, DCSD. We just selected a pea barley biculture for our spring forage in the double crop systems, and rye was planted after corn harvest as a nitrogen catch crop in all systems. Biomass was sampled for dry matter yield and nitrogen uptake in all yield components, and soils were sampled to a depth of 30 centimeters after corn harvest in the fall and after rye harvest the following spring for our nitrogen balance. And I'd like to start off my results with a discussion of a system biomass yield. So this figure shows corn biomass production by crop system within site year. Corn yield is measured in megagrams dry matter per hectare. And what we see is a consistent ranking of biomass yield by crop system across site years. So our full season corn and our sole crop system to the right yields the most, followed by the dual purpose hybrid corn and the double crop system, and trailed by the semi-dwarf corn in the middle. Yields, biomass and grain yields of our full season corn matched statewide averages in this study. But our double crop system, our double crop corn was limited by GDU, and the dual purpose corn did not reach maturity and we harvested it as silage, while our semi-dwarf corn did reach maturity, but its growth was limited by weed issues with weeds and other agronomic difficulties. So we were left with low biomass production and no grain yield in the double crop systems. And now I'd like to discuss nitrogen rate treatment effects on corn biomass yield. This figure shows corn biomass response to applied nitrogen rate our four site years. So we see megagrams dry matter per hectare in the y-axis and applied nitrogen rate from 0 to 224 kilograms per hectare on the x-axis. In our three corn varieties in our different crop systems, so the semi-dwarf corn, dual-purpose hybrid, and full-season hybrid. And the data was fit with a quadratic plateau model, and we can use this to tell us about the nitrogen use efficiency of these systems. And what we notice is that the magnitude of biomass response to applied nitrogen rate increases as biomass of these different varieties increases. So our double crop varieties, which produce less biomass than the full season corn, are optimized at lower rates of applied nitrogen than our full season corn varieties. And this supports my hypothesis that double cropping can increase nitrogen use efficiency over sole crop full season corn production. This figure shows total system biomass yield by site by crop system within site year. System biomass yield is the sum of forage, corn, and rye in the double crop system and corn and rye in the sole crop system. And what we saw consistent ranking of biomass production by crop system when we isolated corn biomass yield, total biomass yield was similar between the double crop and sole crop hybrid treatments in three out of the four site years, and this was due to the presence of forage in the rotation, the double crop rotation, as rye did not contribute very much to total system biomass. And you'll notice that forage biomass varied considerably across site years, but this is a function of this linear correlation between forage dry matter yield and GDUs accumulated by forage. We also saw significant nitrogen rate effects on system biomass yield at all four site years. So now moving on to discuss our system nitrogen balance. These figures show system nitrogen balance from the fall of 2014 to the spring of 2015 at our Lamberton site. Nitrogen uptake by corn and rye can be seen above zero on the y-axis, and soil nitrogen, residual soil nitrogen to a depth of 30 centimeters in the fall and in the spring can be seen below zero on the y-axis. And these figures can tell us we can see the relationship between corn nitrogen uptake and residual soil nitrogen pretty clearly in these figures. And what comes across is that low nitrogen uptake by the double crop corn results in greater residual nitrogen in the fall soil, which then carries over into the spring soil. And this is especially apparent, only significant really, in the semi-dwarf corn treatments, and doesn't have any significant effect on rye nitrogen uptake. And we saw the same pattern in our Rosemont site in the same years. Now we're looking at Lamberton from 2015 to 2016, and we see a slight change in the fate of residual nitrogen. This time, we don't see any crop system treatment in residual soil nitrogen in the fall or the spring, but we do see crop system treatment effects on rye nitrogen uptake and corn nitrogen uptake. And what's interesting is that the ranking of nitrogen uptake by rye is the inverse of that of corn. So rye nitrogen uptake is the greatest, where corn nitrogen uptake is the lowest. And we can kind of infer the presence of residual nitrogen from these double crop systems, from this this figure. And we did see the same pattern in our Waseca site in 2015 and 16. So I was wondering why rye succeeded in soaking up residual nitrogen in the spring of 2016, but not in the spring of 2015. But if we refer to these growing degree unit figures, the fall of 2015 had warmer temperatures, greater moisture, and overall better conditions for rye growth than in 2014. And so it's pretty clear that as rye growth was enabled in these two site years, in this year of data, it was able to take up more of that residual soil nitrogen. So it's clear that system nitrogen balance is really driven by corn nitrogen uptake capacity, and even though the double crop system is able to make better use of residual or scarce nitrogen resources, limited nitrogen uptake by corn can result in nitrogen losses or lack of capture if given excess nitrogen fertilizer application. So to conclude, this study was intended to demonstrate the viability of a double crop system that combined high quality forage using a cereal legume biculture and short season, early maturing grain corn production. And we were successful in producing high quality forage. I didn't discuss economic returns, but our Peabody biculture was the main source of economic returns in our double crop system. But I think the major challenges of this system are seen by the limited biomass production in our short season corn varieties. They were overall poor fits for the system, and we may have had better results if we had chosen different corn varieties. We did see that the double crop system biomass was optimized using fewer nitrogen inputs than the sole crop system biomass, but this nitrogen use efficiency did not result in greater system-wide profits over the full season corn production. However, we did see positive economic returns from the double crop system in three out of the four site years due primarily to the presence of forage. So overall, I think these results suggest that double cropping does have capacity as an alternative crop system in Minnesota. So thanks. That'll take any questions.